Hallelujah. Shake your neighbor's hand and say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord today. And you can sit down. Thank you. Say it with a smile, okay? Don't say it with a frown. Say it with a smile. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's so wonderful to be again in the presence of God. As we turn our hearts to the Word of God for a few minutes, I want us to respect the Word and pay attention to what God has to speak to us. As you all know, we have been going through the great adventure. We have started on a journey through the first pages of the Bible. We have been traveling over the past days, and this is one of the things that I kind of struggled with, is what should I bring to the people, because there is so many lessons, so much that I can bring. And then I wait upon the Lord, and then the Lord guides me to one particular area that I would like to speak upon. Maybe it's not something that is the most popular or something that people have used, but I wait on the Lord. And as I said, it's not a verse-by-verse journey, but as the Lord puts in my heart, I am trying to bring the Old Testament to life and show how God wants from our life. So if you remember in the last session, we understood that God has a solution available close to us. That was before the last Sunday, which was Father's Day, and I spoke about for the fathers. But the Sunday before that, we spoke about how God has a solution always close to us. It's available to us. When we call upon His name, God will provide for us that solution. We were looking into the journey of the Israelites as they, after passing the Red Sea, they came to the place called Marah, and they found that the water was bitter. And they cried to the Lord. I mean, they grumbled, of course, but God had a solution for them. And God told Moses that you pick up a tree or a branch and you put it in the water, and the water turned sweet. And so there was a solution that God provided for them, not only in Marah, but also in a place called Elim. And so God fixed their water problem, and also God gave them a place to rest as well. So as they were journeying through the wilderness, God told them to build a tabernacle for them, for Him, so that they would put the God in the center of their life. You know, every time I want to tell each of you this thing, and I'll make this very clear. We need to put God in the center of our life. Everything should be revolving, just like the planets revolve around the sun. God needs to revolve around every activity that we do every day. If God is not in the center of your life and God is at the periphery, the problem is that when we face difficulty, instead of trusting God, we start complaining. We start grumbling. We start hitting each other. You know, that is the usual tendency of carnality, because we start thinking as a carnal human being. But God wants to be in the center of everyday life. Even in the midst of your job, I mean, some of us are on the phone all the time. Some of us are visiting patients. Some of us are sitting in before a computer, typing up some code. Some of us are teaching. We do different things. But let me tell you, whatever you do in your secular life, it does not matter. End of the day, you should have God at the center, so that all your activities are emanating out of that focus that we have towards God. This was the plan of God even when the Israelites, they started on the journey. God told them to build a tabernacle. And then God told that you should put the tabernacle in the midst of the camp. In the middle of the camp, not at the side. In the middle. And the 12 tribes, 3 tribes, south, north, east and west, would be situated facing to the tabernacle. All the 12 tribes of Israel would be facing to the tabernacle. And so that was the way God designed for them at that time. And that is the way God has designed for us even today. Everything we do, it doesn't matter. It all has to face. And every decision we make in our life, whether relocating, whether buying a house, whether marrying somebody, whether choosing a career, everything that you do, it has to emanate out of that. That should be our prime reason, not anything else. Because the moment you make anything other than that as a prime reason, the problem is that we fall into trouble when we are in difficulty, because we don't know God is not in the midst, He is at the side, and we start looking for Him and He's nowhere to be found. So I just wanted to tell you that today we are going to look at one of the articles that God commanded Moses to be placed inside the holy place in the tabernacle. So today for my topic, today is session number 17, and we will look into how we can shine in the world as God's lampstand. How do you shine in the world as God's lampstand? Many people shine these days. You see their names, go through Facebook, or you can see them all shining. I hope they are all shining for Jesus, because He is the Lamb of glory. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. All glory should go to Him. And whatever we do, He deserves the glory. Because nothing that we do in this world is without the Lord and without His purposes. So today, as we are going to discuss, it is a very seemingly unimportant piece of article that God has asked Moses to place in the holy place. But I want you to open your Bibles, if you have your Bibles with you. I want you to open to the book of Exodus, chapter 25. We are going to read a couple of passages. And the reason, because I want you to read from your Bible and understand that everything that God has done in the past has a message for us today. And I will bring the application later on. So I'm going to read the first. There are two passages that I want to bring before you. Exodus 25, I'm going to read from verses 31 to verse number 40, which is going to be describing the gold lampstand that God asked to be placed in the holy place. And then we are going to turn the page. Maybe for some of you it's the same page. Some of you may have to turn one page over. And we are going to look at chapter 27 and verses 20 and 21, which is something that the lampstands are having, which is the how do you care for the lampstand, and regarding the oil that needs to be there in the lampstand. So please turn to your Bible and I will read it. It looks very disinteresting, but God has gone to the particulars of each thing, and so it's wonderful to see an architect like God designing that lampstand and how He's speaking out. So verse number 31, Exodus chapter 25, verse number 31 onwards. This is what God tells to Moses. You shall also make a lampstand of pure gold. That lampstand shall be of hammered work, its shaft, its branches, its bowls, its ornamental knobs and flowers shall be of one piece. And six branches shall come out of its sides, three branches of the lampstand out of one side, and three branches of the lampstand out on the other side. Three bowls shall be made like almond blossoms on one branch with an ornamental knob and a flower. And three bowls made like almond blossoms on the other branch with an ornamental knob and a flower. And so for the six branches that come out of the lampstand. Out of the lampstand itself, four bowls shall be made like almond blossoms, each with its ornamental knob and flower. And there shall be a knob under the first two branches of the same, a knob under the second two branches of the same, and a knob under the third two branches of the same, one according to the six branches that extend from the lampstand. Their knobs and the branches shall be of one piece. All of them shall be of one hammered piece of pure gold. You shall make seven lamps for it, and they shall arrange its lamps so that they shall give light in front of it. If you have a pen with you, I want you to underline this. So that they give light in front of it. This is the purpose that God put a lampstand, so that they can give light in front of it. And its wick trimmers and their trays shall be of pure gold. And it shall be made of a talent of pure gold with all the utensils. And see to it that you make them according to the pattern which was shown you on the mountain. So God made a blueprint and showed Moses and say, make sure that you make this lampstand in the pattern that I'm going to make for you. And then turn your Bible to chapter 27. We are going to read just two verses here. Verses 20 and verse number 21. And God tells to Moses, and you shall command the children of Israel that they bring you pure oil of pressed olives for the light to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of meeting outside the veil which is before the assembly. Aaron and his son shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to the generations on behalf of the children of Israel. Very deep theological passage, but I will try to break it into something that is understandable for all of you. Can we close our eyes for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we come in your presence, Lord. We thank you for the word that you have given us this morning. Father, help us to know exactly the purpose for which you have called us to be a children of light. Lord, you called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. You shone the light into our hearts. You revealed the truth about our lives and you allowed us to accept you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, as we are living our life on this earth, help us to understand what is your purpose. Lord, for us, Lord, each and every day, I pray that you speak to all of us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God. Let me start with an illustration. I know some of you may know or remember, there was a president by the name of Woodrow Wilson. He was a former US president. He told a story, a real story, of being in a barber shop one time. And I'm going to read out what he said. This is his own account. Woodrow Wilson, who is one of the US presidents. This is what he said. I was sitting on a barber chair when I became aware that a powerful personality had entered the room. A man had come quietly upon the same errand as myself to have his hair cut and sat in a chair next to me. Every word the man uttered, though it was not in the least didactic, showed a personal interest in the man who was serving him. And before I got through with what was being done to me, I was aware that I had attended an evangelistic service because Mr. D.L. Moody was sitting on that chair. I purposely lingered in the room after he had left and noted the singular effect that his visit had brought upon the barber shop. They talked in undertones. They did not know his name, but they knew something had elevated their thoughts, and I felt that I had left that place as I should have left a place of worship. You see, evangelist D.L. Moody was shining in his world as a lampstand for God. Even in a place like a barber shop, when somebody was cutting his hair, in the few words, the impression that he made to the man sitting next to him who was the president of the United States, this may have happened before he was the president. Because I think once you get the president, you don't sit with others in a barber shop. So it was before. But this is his testimony. He says, this man made such an impression. In the few moments that he was sitting in the barber shop, I felt that I'm sitting in an evangelistic service. Because this man spoke to his barber about the love of God. And he shone his light in that darkness. You know, I'm just telling you that God has a plan for us in our life. It is not only when you come to church on a Sunday morning that you want to shine for Jesus. It's not within these four walls of the room that you should be speaking. I spoke that many times. Our testimony should be outside the four walls. When you go out into the world, when you sit with somebody who do not know, that is a place that you should shine and you should speak about the testimony that God has given. Let me come to the passage that I have been reading. I spoke about the golden lampstand, and you will see a picture of the lampstand that I've shown you. Just you understand that God places a lampstand in the tabernacle. It was in a particular place, and if you see the see about this, you can see the most holy of holies had the ark, but the holy place, it had three things there. It had the table of the showbread on one side. Opposite to that was the lampstand, and next to it was the incense altar. The holy place was where the priest could enter into the holy place to minister unto the Lord. And there was a veil that was between the holy place and the holy of holies. And so anybody, they could only enter through the holy place into the holy of holies. In fact, only one day in a year, the high priest could enter into the holy of holies, which was the day of atonement, to take the blood and offer it on behalf of the children of Israel. Only one time in a year. But every other time when they would minister, they would enter into the holy place. And one of the articles that was kept there was a lampstand. So if you can look in the lampstand, it had seven lamps. There were three on one side, there were three on the other, and there was one in the middle. It had flat bowls with a wick that was laying at one end, so that there was oil that was coming from below that was lighting up the lamp. So the purpose of the lamps was to illuminate the holy place. Because in those days there was no electricity. The tent was covering, it was a closed tent. There was no way the light could get into the holy place, because the coverings were very thick. It would not allow the sunlight to come inside. It was a dark place, but then this seven lamps that was lighting from the lampstand would keep the place illuminated, and that was the reason that it was there. If you turn to the second passage that we read in Exodus 27, verse 20 and 21, we see it was the responsibility of Aaron the high priest and his priestly descendants to maintain that lampstand. They had to make sure that the wick is lighted up all the time. They had to make sure that there was a continuous supply of olive oil that was donated by the children of Israel. So, according to the rabbinical teachings in the Mishnah, we see that this was pure oil of pressed olives. And this oil was so pure, it was looking, there was no color. It was crystal clear oil. And this oil was the highest quality oil that was available. For those who want to take down a reference, I can give you Leviticus 24 verses 1 to 4. I'm not going to go into that. But the oil that would be brought for the lampstand was of pure quality. And because of the way it was, to obtain this oil, the olives were gently pounded in a bowl, and the oil was extracted from the pulp. And the purity of the oil was indicative of the fact that God demanded, I need that pure oil, the 100%, no contamination. It was 100% pure oil, because when that oil would be burning, there is no smoke coming from the flame. The only reason why smoke comes from any flame is because there is impurity in the thing that is lighting up. In this case, there was no impurity. 100% pure oil. God demanded that 100% purity. So let me tell you one more thing. When we offer to God, don't give Him your leftovers, okay? Give Him the very best, because that is what He deserves. Amen? Amen? Let us give God the very best of our time, of our talents, of our money, what we have. Give Him the best. Serve Him when you can serve Him the fullest. Don't expect to be an evangelist after you retire after 65 years. You do the work of an evangelist, or do the work of God when you are having the ability to do that. That is what God requires of you. So in this tent that we are talking about, this was a place where God was dwelling. Very close to the lampstand. And as we see, the description was, even before the description of the priests were mentioned, they were said that this lamp should be a perpetual light within the sanctuary. The lamps can never go off. It can never be put off. So this lampstand was to burn continually. If you read that passage, It says that from evening until morning, which is in the night time, continuously, evening to morning, morning to evening, continuously, this lamp had to be tended and lightened up. It cannot go off before the Lord. So let me tell you that it was the priestly ministry that was done was for the people, but it was done in God's presence and in with God's approval. Even though the oil is the one that produced the light, let me give you some spiritual application for our life. Even though the oil was the one that was producing the light, the priest had to work in order to keep the lights burning. The priest had to trim the wicks. The priest had to make sure that the oil is continuously there for the lamps to be lit up. And so let me give you this spiritual lesson if you are writing this down. What we can learn is that just like the lampstand is kept inside the tabernacle, God has placed us in the church. Just like the lampstand is placed in the tabernacle, today God has placed you and me in the church. You turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verses 12 and 20, we read about the vision that John the apostle had. It says, I turned to the voice that spoke to me. I saw seven golden lampstands, which were the seven churches. Now, each of the lampstands was representing a church that Jesus had a prophecy through John in the book of Revelation. So each church represented one lampstand. Each lampstand had seven wicks that was producing the light. And so let me tell you this. Just like the lampstand needed pure oil to shine and bring the light, today we need the Holy Spirit to shine in our dark world. Our world is full of darkness. Dear brothers and sisters, we need that pure oil to shine for the Lord. Just like the lampstand stood in the holy place, helped to the priest to see as they served God, each of us should help the ministers of God to keep his shine brightly. Each of you has a responsibility to help the ministers in every way possible, that we all shine and do the work that God has given us. Hallelujah. Let me also tell you one thing. There is a thing that we can observe. The light that would come out of the lampstand was not for the whole camp. It was for the holy place. It was the glory of God that lit up the whole camp. But it was a lampstand that lit up the holy place. So you understand, in the night, God would be a pillar of light, that would, pillar of fire that would give light to everybody. Inside the holy place in the tabernacle, the lamp is the one that would give the light. So let me bring a New Testament application to you. Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, let me tell you that when we are shining faithfully for God, His glory will be revealed to the people in the dark places. We have to shine for Him within our church, and God's glory will be revealed to the world that is outside. Apostle Paul tells in Philippians chapter 2 verses 14 to 16 like this. Listen to this very carefully. This is the word for you today. It says, Do all things without complaining and disputing. Don't complain. Don't dispute or don't argue about things that are done. The word of God is so clear to all of us. Do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And then, this is a part that I underline. You also need to underline. Among you whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. God has kept us in this world to shine as lights before them. And so when you're shining as a light for Jesus, do everything without disputing and complaining. Don't complain. Don't make a fuss about everything that you see around you. Because it is many times that devil who tries to sow disunity within us. But God wants us to be united and we do things together without disputing and complaining. Let me bring a word which our Lord Jesus has spoken up, and I will close with this one. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, we all know this verse. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 14 to 16, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it may give light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." There are two facets of the light that Jesus speaks about, and I want to make that very evident for all of you. Number one, Jesus refers to a city on a hill. We are a city on a hill. What does it mean? This is the light of our institution, the church. A city on a is not a single light. A city is a collection of different lights. A city on a hill speaks of us letting our light shine as a community of faith, as a church, together, individually, as collectively, we are shining as a city on a hill. It speaks about the influence of our church to the world that is around us. As a church, we need to let the light be our standard, our style of worship, the things we stand for. Let people see that light reflected from our lives individually and collectively together. Because a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Everybody can see the city because it is standing on a hill. We can all see that we are like the city on the hill. You know, we have to declare our stand for Jesus. As we testify together of His saving grace and power, we take a stand in the world. It cannot be both ways. You cannot be a light and you cannot be in darkness. Either you are in darkness or you are in the light. You cannot be two together. Because when the light comes, you cannot be in darkness. So, the first part is a city on the hill. The second thing that Jesus spoke about, He's speaking about a lamp that is on a lampstand. So this is the light of the individuals. This is for each of us on an individual basis. This lamp is lit so that the people in the house can receive the light and see the objects and people in the room. So this speaks about each of us being a personal witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like a church is a testimony, individually we are all to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has saved us to be a light to spread the gospel. That is why Jesus has saved us. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world, but now you are the light of the world. I am going to my Father in heaven, but you are my representative. And you have to shine as a light to the people outside." And so, what it says that Jesus has saved us to be a light to spread the word. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, many times you want to pray, "Lord, what is your purpose for me?" This is a great purpose for each one of you. Jesus has called you and saved you that you will be a light to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great mandate that Jesus has given us. Be a light shining in the darkness. Because the world is dark. People do all evil things under the darkness. But when the light shines, all the darkness will expose the evil deeds. We are individually to be a light in the places we are. In the marketplace, in our offices. You know, I know many of us, or some of us, I don't know. You never open your mouth and speak the fact that God has saved you from sin. You may have never opened your mouth to other people and testified about what God has done for you. You have never been a witness of the saving grace of Jesus Christ in your life. Today I want to exhort you. Brothers and sisters, when you go out into the marketplace, when you go to your schools, when you go to the places there, the reason when you walk in is that you are a light for Jesus shining in the darkness. And you should declare that light as individuals wherever God is going to take you. Hallelujah. 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 He has saved us to be a light to spread the gospel. As He shines the light of the gospel. What is the light? It is the gospel that God has placed in our heart. So when you go to a dark place, those who are in darkness, they do not know their way to reach God. We come from a country that says, that has prayed for thousands of years, God, show me the light. Where is the light? People have prayed for that light to be shown. Little did God, people realize that the light that they were praying for has come in the form of Jesus. 2,000 years ago, for the last 2,000 years, He has put us as the light of the world. We are the ones who should light, and so that they can find their way in darkness to God. Amen? Hallelujah. This is a responsibility that God has given each one of you. You know, I think most of you are out there in the marketplace working among people who do not know the light. You need to pray for them. You need to ask God to give you the words to witness to them. Don't do things rashly. I'm not telling that tomorrow go and stand up on the table. I remember one of my friends who was so in fire for God. He was studying in a government college in our city where we grew up. He was so bold, he would, in the cafeteria, he would stand up on a table and he would declare, Jesus is the light of the world, and if you don't come to Him, you will all go to hell. That is not basically the way that we need to proceed. I'm just telling you. He may be big radical. I didn't have the strength. I was like, oh my, what is he doing? Because I didn't have that courage. But many times we may not have the courage to stand like that and declare boldly. But in our praises, we need to declare who Jesus is. Because when He shines the light through us, those who are in darkness, they can help the way to see to God. So let me come to a next point that I want to tell you, which is very important. Don't hide your light under a basket. Don't hide your light under a basket. Because if you are going to hide your light under a basket, either of two things will happen. Either the basket will extinguish the light inside, because of the lack of oxygen, the light will be extinguished. Or the lamp will consume the basket and make it into nothing. And you will fall into adverse conditions. When Jesus starts really working in your life, you cannot hide that light. You have to expose it. I remember in the Old Testament, one of the prophets said, oh, I cannot speak up. I'm going to shut my mouth. And then he said, oh, the fire is so much inside. I cannot but open my mouth and speak the word. Because when Jesus has truly done great things, you cannot but be a witness for Him. So let me come to this point here. Jesus tells us of twofold purposes for the light that He has placed in our heart. Twofold purposes. This light, number one, this light is a witness to the lost people. That is the witness of our salvation. You are being a witness of what Jesus has done for you. You got your things, everything okay. Jesus saved you. You say, I'm going to heaven when I die. God has a final place. I'm not going to be destroyed. But you have to witness that to other people. That is your role, brothers and sisters. As a pastor, I'm reminding you again and again. Your role that God brought you to Charlotte or here in South Carolina is not to have a life in luxury and eat and be merry and just go on. I am just telling you that the purpose that God has in your heart is to spread that light wherever you are. The second one I will tell you, the light is a witness to the Lord. Witnesses unto Him. Be a witness unto Him. If you check on Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the exact translation says, Jesus says, you will be a witness to me. Not about me. I always thought in Acts 1:8 that you shall receive power and the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall be a witness. But it says, you will be a witness to me. You will be a witness to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. When the Holy Spirit is poured in your life, you are a witness to the Lord of what He is doing it. Let me tell you that there is no greater witness for a born again believer than reflecting the light of the gospel. The light is the gospel that God has placed in our hearts. As also, let me tell you, as the light is not there to draw attention to itself, but it draws attention to the things that it illuminates. Our witness is not to magnify ourselves, but magnify the one about whom we are a witness. Our purpose is not for other people to say, oh, what a great man of God, what a great Christian. That is not the purpose. We want them to say, they are serving a great God. I want to know him also. Think about the example I gave you about D.L. Moody. Everywhere that he goes, he was shining the light, even in the barbershop. When you go and spread the light, people will see who Jesus is and they will come to him. One final point, I will tell you this. As the lamp or as the candle shrinks, as it spreads the light, you see the candle becoming smaller and smaller. That is where we should be. When we burn the light, we humble ourselves, becoming nothing, so that his light is shining through us. Day by day, we become smaller and smaller. There is a verse that says that we have to be invisible. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 18 says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outer man is perishing, our inner man is renewed day and day. For the things that we are seen are temporary, for the things that are not seen are eternal. We live for the things that are not seen. This world is not our own. We are just passing by. Our lives are not for long. Many of us think that we are going to live to be 103. No, I'm just telling you, we may not live up to that extent. You know what I'm saying is, anytime death can come knocking in the door, anytime Jesus can come back. And he's coming for a bride that is waiting for him. You know, this morning before our devotion, I spoke about the virgins. Who, of 10 virgins, they had their lamp. But 5 of them, they did not put the oil, or they forgot to put the oil in the lamp. When the bridegroom came, he took the 5 wise virgins along with him. The foolish virgins could never enter the door because they did not have the oil in the lamp. What does the oil represent? It's the power of the Holy Spirit that can work in our lives. So we need to keep our lamps trimmed. We need to keep our light shining always. Hallelujah. You know, can we all just stand up on our feet right now? I want us to just surrender our hearts to the Lord for a few minutes. Every eye closed. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Every one of you. I'm sure the Lord has spoken to your heart. I cannot make it simpler, you know. That there is a purpose that God has called you. You know, just because your parents were Christians, that does not mean certainly that was the plan of God. God has a purpose, you know what? God has called you into his fold with a purpose. We have to fulfill the purpose of God. We need to shine for Jesus. We need to keep our lamps trimmed up. Always, we need to have the light shining through our hearts. You know, we need to go and light our world. I want every eyes to be closed. Every eyes to be closed. Everyone bow your heads for a moment. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, and you feel that you are not lighting the gospel where God is giving you opportunities. Many times God is giving you so many opportunities that you are missing because either you are scared or you are too lazy or you don't care. It can be one of these things. You don't care. Many of us don't care about what's going on. We just need to have a good time. Okay, you have a good time. But let me tell you, one day Jesus is going to ask us, what did you do with what I gave you? I gave you a good position. I gave you a good home. I gave you good surroundings. I gave you a good church. I gave you good health. I gave you everything, and I was speaking to you. What did you do with what I have given you? Did you shine for me? Did you shine the light that I put in your heart? For that, you need to break your vessel. You know, the vessel, many of us, that stands in the way of our light coming out. We need to break that vessel. Make us small that the light will shine through that cracked vessel that God has put us. And the light will shine to other people. So that when they look at us, they see Jesus in our life. They don't need to know our name, but they need to see Jesus reflected each and every moment where we go. Brother and sister, let me tell you, God has called you with a purpose. You are not here by accident. There is a great purpose of God. Can you realize the purpose that God has for you in this world? Because we have a time limit. We all have an expiry date. One day we are going to go, and then there is no turning back. I remember the story of that rich man who said, you know, give me one more chance, let me go. You know, he said, give me one more chance. I want to go and tell my brothers. And Abraham said, no way. You have crossed the rift. There's no turning back. You had your way. You had your time. If you don't use your time today and you spend your entire moments for the things of this world, I am telling you that one day God will ask us, what did you do with what I've given you? And that day, what are we going to answer Him? How are we going to stand in front of Him? Examine your heart for a moment. Shine your light so that others can see Jesus.